Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And Hebrews tonight, the book of Hebrews, and you pray for us tonight. I certainly want to be a help and honor the Lord first and foremost tonight. And the longer I've been saved, the longer I preach, the more I'm aware and that I need His help. I was studying recently the life of the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting that Paul, when he began his ministry, he said, "I'm the least of all the apostles." Shortly thereafter, a little bit later on, he said, I'm the least of all saints." Closing of his ministry, when the Lord was fixing to take him home, his departure was at hand, he was ready to be delivered, and he said, "I'm the chief of sinners." And I'm learning in this race, the longer I live for the Lord, the longer I serve, the more I come to know that I don't know everything, and the more I learn of the Word of God, the less I realize that I know, and the more I see Him, the less that I see myself. And you pray for us tonight, God, help us. Hebrews chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse number 14 tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, and verse number 14, and just a few verses tonight. There's certain truths in my life as a believer that has transformed my walk with God. I don't say that boastful tonight. I just say there are certain truths that I feel like God has used in my life and to draw me closer to Him. And I want to share one of those with you tonight here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. If you're able, we'll stand and reverence the reading of God's Word tonight if you're able and willing. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. The Bible said, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Reverence the reading of God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, as we come in Jesus' name, Lord, that name which is above every name, we come as humbly as we know how tonight. I want to thank You for Your mercy. I want to thank You for Your grace. I thank You, Lord, for this church. I thank You, Lord, for their pastor and his faithfulness, the faithfulness of his family tonight. Lord, to this place, and God, the blessings that You have bestowed upon them in these days. God, to see the building and, Lord, all that You're doing in their midst. We're so grateful for that tonight, Lord, and I pray that You'd continue to bless them, God. It's good to see this good number in the house of God tonight. I pray, Lord, as we stand to rightly divide the word of truth, God, that You'd enable us, Lord. I pray You'd illuminate our hearts and our minds. May we be receptive, Lord, to Thy truth. God, I pray if there's one in our midst tonight that don't know You in the free pardon of sin, I pray tonight would be, Lord, tonight they get saved by the good grace of God. I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd anoint us and help us, God. I pray that, Lord, You'd bring to my remembrance that's been studied. God, we need You tonight. We need Your touch. I pray we'd be a help to these dear folk tonight. Lord, we love You. Thank You for all that You have done, for all that You're going to do, for it's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. As we study the book of Hebrews tonight, I love the book of Hebrews. I learned shortly after I got married and that there's not many books in the Bible that's not my favorite. My wife informed me, was going up the road, and Brother Heath, I'd preached a message, and she said, "You know, I've only heard you for about 20 times now," and she said, "You've preached a different book of the Bible each time that I've heard you, and every one of them is your favorite." And so now I've just had to come to the conclusion that I love the Bible. Amen. But if I had to pick a book in the New Testament that has become close to or one of my favorite, it is the book of Hebrews tonight. The key word that unlocks the book would be the word "better" tonight. We have a better sanctuary, a better hope, and what we find in the book of Hebrews is what is in the shadow of the Old Testament. We see the substance in the New Testament, and thank God in all of those sacrifices, very few things in the Old Testament, I would say you'd be hard-pressed to find any that didn't point, whether it was the sacrifices or the offerings or even the tabernacle that itself, you'd be hard-pressed to find anything that didn't point to the Lord Jesus Christ or the work of the ministry that He done for you and I. But when we come to the book of Hebrews, we see the shadow of those things and we find the substance, that substance being the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come into chapter number 4 tonight, we know the theme of the book of Hebrews is the priesthood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said as I began the message tonight, there's certain truths, Brother Robert, that God has given me in the years of being saved by His grace, and that has transformed my walk with God. One of those is positional truth. That is, over 137 times in your New Testament, you'll find the phrases "in Christ" or "in Him" given in your Bible. And to know that once you're saved by the grace of God, to be in Christ, to be placed in Him, the security that brings, the assurance, Brother Stan, that brings, that has transformed my walk with the Lord. But close to that tonight would be the principle tonight, the concept that we have a high priest in heaven tonight. And thank God for the doctrine and for the truth that Jesus Christ is our high priest tonight. And I'm thankful for the cross of Calvary. I'm thankful for the blood that was shed in order that we could be saved by the grace of God. But I'm glad that after He went to the cross of Calvary, died for our sins, was buried, He arose again. We're serving a living Savior tonight. I know on the faces of some believers it don't look like it, but we're serving a risen Savior tonight. He's alive and well. I know things are not looking good in our nation and things seem to be going backwards sometimes. Hey, but we can look up, child of God, because the Lord is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible tells us tonight that He's making intercession for the believer. And to have a representative tonight in heaven is a tremendous truth. And I know tonight in just 20, 25 minutes, I cannot do it justice. But if I could just take the Bible tonight and show you a few truths concerning Christ as our high priest, I believe that God could use it to transform your walk with Him. As we come here in chapter number 4, we come on down, and as the Bible said in verse number 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." And that is passed into the heavens. I don't know any other way to preach tonight than just verse by verse, line upon line, and precept upon precept. So first of all tonight, Christ as our high priest, I want you to notice His position tonight. Notice what the Bible said, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens." Thank God tonight He is alive and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, the Bible said in verse 3, "Who being the brightness," who's He speaking of? This is Christ, the Son of God. Verse number 1, if you back up, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." My, what God had to say through His prophets. What tremendous truths we learn from the prophets tonight. But I love verse 2, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." My, what He has spoken to us through His Son tonight. "Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sin, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." As I've already said tonight, I'm thankful for the cross of Calvary. I'm thankful for the incarnation of Christ, that Christ would leave the splendor and glory of heaven and would be born in a lowly manger in Bethlehem and would take upon Himself the nature and form, likeness of man in order that He could go to the cross, Brother Robert, and die for our sins. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that He was willing to lay down His life for us. And the Bible said here that in verse number 3, speaking of the Son, the express image of the person of God, upholding all things by the word of His power. I love Colossians 1. We know that by Him all things consist. Amen? And all things were made by Him and for Him, and by Him all things consist. You know the Savior tonight is also the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And thank God for that tonight. And the Word became flesh. And so we understand the Son of God was just as much God the Son as He was the Son of God. He's as much God as God is God. And He said here, notice, when He had by Himself purged our sin. That's Calvary. That's the finished work. He cried out, "It is finished." It is finished. He didn't say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." The work of salvation, Him atoning for our sin, the blood that was shed, was sufficient to redeem us as sinners. But what happened? Well, they placed Him in a tomb 3 days later. 3 days later, on that third and glorious morning, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. If I study my Bible correctly, 40 days after the resurrection, He ascended back to the Father. 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And what did they preach? They preached the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But where is He at tonight? Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the hope that He is alive. But when's the last time we considered what He's doing on our behalf tonight? We know about Calvary. We can go back. We're celebrating Christmas here in just a few weeks, and we can talk about the incarnation. We can talk about the crucifixion. We can talk about the resurrection. But what is He doing in heaven tonight for you and I? It's a tremendous truth to consider. But His position tonight, let's understand first and foremost, as the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14, that He has passed into the heavens. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. I like that, amen? That goes back to that finished work that He accomplished. And set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Acts chapter 7, look at it with me tonight. I like to have ample proof, amen? My word don't amount to much. I try to keep my word. But my word's nowhere close to God's word. So just in case you're in doubt as to where He's at tonight in His position, Acts chapter 7, what's taking place? Well, it's Stephen. They're stoning Stephen. Stephen here has, of course, stood. He had been chosen, one of the elders there of the church at Antioch, and one of the men that were chosen out among certain men to minister to the widows. And he was a preacher. We know that from studying the Word of God. And in Acts chapter number 7, he's going to preach one of the greatest sermons. He's going to rehearse the nation, the history of the nation of Israel. And it's tremendous when you read the chapter. But when you come down through here, you'll find that his audience didn't like his preaching much. Sometimes us as preachers, we get upset about a sour face looking back at us. And Stephen here, he was fixing to be stoned to death. And the Bible said here, as he's preaching to this stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, he comes down, and the Bible said in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. See, when they heard these things, they were pricked to the heart, and they began to gnash on him with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven. What Hebrews 4:14 say? He's passed into the heavens. He said, look steadfastly up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I love my Bible tonight. Best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Amen. And the Bible tells us, Paul writing to those Hebrew believers, he said he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And here we back up and we see the stoning of Stephen. And Stephen, as he's going through that trouble in his life, he looks and the Bible said he saw the glory of God. Brother Robert, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Right hand of the throne of God. His position tonight, can I say he's crucified, he's risen. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ready to come again. Notice, second of all, tonight, somebody lied to you. They said I was a long-winded preacher. I'm not going to be tonight. Amen. No, I'm picking. I don't think nobody told you that. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Go back there. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. That's his position tonight. He's seated. He's passed into the heavens, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But notice his person tonight. See, to have the full assurance of our priest in heaven tonight, we got to understand, is he qualified? And if he is qualified, let's understand a little bit about his character, because in doing so, it brings great assurance to our heart tonight, knowing who he is. And it'll tie in together in the conclusion of the message. Notice Jesus, the Son of God. His position, he has passed into the heavens, but his person, this is Jesus, the Son of God. When we think about who he is tonight, go back to Hebrews chapter 1. I know I've already read it, but notice the Bible said God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the Son of God. Matter of fact, we need to make clear that truth in the hour in which we live, because there are those who deny that. And the Bible tells us, John writing, said that if any man denies that Jesus is the Christ, denies that Jesus is the Son of God, that's the spirit of Antichrist. And he reminds us that in his first epistle of John. But the Bible said here that Jesus, the Son of God, in verse 2, hath spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Here it is, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You know, when the disciples, I think it was Philip, that desired to see the Father. You know what Jesus told him? I'm summarizing this tonight. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the express image of the person of God tonight. And so we understand that Jesus is not just the Son of God, he's God the Son. You remember when Paul was writing to young Timothy? He said that God was made manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. We're Christmas time. It's coming up very shortly. And there's a name, if I remember correctly, that was given to Jesus by the name of Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel by interpretation is? God with us. That babe that was born in a manger, he is the one that was with the Father in the beginning. He was God from everlasting and shall ever be. And so when we consider his person tonight, let's understand that he's as much God as God is God. This is Jesus that we're talking about, the Son of God, but God the Son. And although he took the flesh of man, he received his blood from God. Acts chapter 20. Notice what the Bible said. Paul writing to the elders at the church of Ephesus, and actually instructing the elders. Paul had been there with them for a couple of years, and as he's going away, he's instructing them of the importance of feeding the flock of God. And the Bible said in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." See, Jesus took upon himself, Hebrews chapter 2, look at it with me. He took upon himself not the nature of angels, but of the seed of Abraham. Why did he do that? Well, we know that he did that in order that he could go to the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. And as we're going to see by the end of the message, he also done that, not just so that he could die for our sins, but that he, as a merciful and faithful high priest, being tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, is able to succor or succor them, as some pronounce it, that is to aid or help them that are tempted. Hebrews chapter 2, look at it. Verse number 9. "But we see Jesus." I love that name tonight. I know he's called Christ, the Anointed One. And I know we preach him as the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul did, dealing with not only his lordship and his deity. That name Jesus is just special tonight. And Jesus, what a lovely name tonight. And the Bible said here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." Here it is. "For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." I'm not preaching on it tonight, but if you ever come across a Calvinist, read him Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Why would God allow his Son to taste death for every man and not allow them an opportunity to be saved? Amen. And thank God he tasted death for every man. The Bible said in verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." If you come on down into the text, verse 14, talking about his person tonight. Who is he tonight? He's Jesus, the Son of God. And the Bible said, "For as much then as the children," verse 14 of chapter 2, "are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." He became like you and I. He was robed in flesh. And God prepared him a body, as the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 10. But the Bible goes on to say, him taking on the nature here of the seed of Abraham, verse 17, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Preacher, want to say, I'm talking about his person tonight. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And I know we're familiar with this tonight. I don't believe there's anybody here tonight, when we talk about who Jesus is, denies the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. Philippians chapter 2, we learn that he took on him the likeness of man. And what did he do? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Who is he tonight? He's Jesus, the Son of God. He was in position. Why is he high priest tonight? It was a divine appointment. Look in Hebrews chapter 5, talking about his character tonight, but also his qualifications. His character, he's God the Son. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, when the writer here of the book of Hebrews, I believe under the inspiration of God, was the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to dive off into that tonight, but as he begins to talk about the high priest, and particularly the high priest of Aaron, the Bible said in chapter 5 of verse number 4, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Aaron didn't appoint himself as a priest in the Old Testament. and neither did Jesus appoint himself. How do you know that? Well, look at the very next verse. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Who made Christ priest? God did. And when we've studied the Word of God, if you go to Matthew chapter number 3, at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that dove descending and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Amen. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God, God the Son. And He was appointed to this position tonight. So He has all rights by His character, but all rights by His qualifications. It's an unending priesthood, Hebrews chapter 7. Talking about His qualifications. I love this chapter. And I would not keep my promise tonight on a brief message if I dove off into chapter 7. But the order of Melchizedek, he gives us a few details in verse 3. That this Melchizedek, king of Salem, a priest of the Most High God, we find him back in the book of Genesis. He was without father, without mother, without descent, verse 3. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. See, in the Old Testament, they had the problem of those priests that were human, just like they were, mortal, just like them. They had an issue with those priests after a certain amount of time. They'd die. Just like you and I, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But Melchizedek, being without days, without father and mother, without a genealogy, no beginning, no ending that is recorded. I know that he did die, but there's no recording of it in the Word of God. So he's made like unto the Son of God, just as Christ. There'll be no end to his priesthood tonight. So when we consider that, you come into verse number 23 of chapter 7. I'm going somewhere with this, all right? I'm going to make a statement. Your pastor, he embedded this in me through his preaching. I say it all the time now. I said I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to build a big house or build a big foundation, put a little house on it. Y'all ever heard that? I use that all the time now. I've got a little house coming. We're just building the foundation right now. Amen? Verse 23 of chapter 7. And they truly were many priests. That's talking about those priests of under the Levitical priesthood of Aaron. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. You want a low-gap terminology for that? Death got in the way of them being a priest. They died. Verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Talking about his person tonight, who he is, his character tonight. We know that he is as much God as God is God. Thank God for that tonight. And that he is qualified tonight. And in those qualifications, it's an unchanging priesthood. It's an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, the Bible says in verse 25, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, can I share something with you? Now, I'm not going to be critical, but you ever heard a preacher talk about this word uttermost? And a lot of times they'll say from the guttermost to the uttermost. And there's nothing wrong with that by application. It's just when you study the chapter and you begin to dive off into this, this word uttermost deals with perfection. It deals with a completeness. Now, I'm thankful that I serve a God tonight that can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. I'm glad He can reach down and He can save whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth. I'm glad He can save the drunk tonight just as much as He can the religious man on the pew. Brother Robert, you know what this means tonight? Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost. That means complete. Means fully tonight. It means the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I came to faith and believing in Him. He done a work in my heart, and as Paul put it, I have the confidence, I have the assurance that He that hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Ain't that wonderful tonight? I'm not going to die and go to hell. I'm as good as in heaven tonight. Amen? And that's enough to rejoice in and shout about for all eternity when we get home. Amen? We're secure tonight. Why? Because of His person. Because of who He is tonight. Verse 26, for such an high priest. Oh, thank God tonight. Became us who is, the Bible said, for such an high priest became us who is holy. That's speaking of Him tonight. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That word holy, that's Godward. There's nothing that God could see in His Son that He is displeased with. Manward, that's harmless. He never one time. Bible said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. He openeth not his mouth. He never done wrong to man. Then I thought about this. He said, not only holy and harmless, undefiled. There was not only anything God couldn't see, there's not only anything man could condemn him, but if I understand that undefiled, there was nothing he could see within himself. Within himself, there was nothing, no flaws. Preacher, what he's saying, I'm saying he was separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, verse 27, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh man high priest which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Christ our high priest, we see his position. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. His person, in his character and in his qualifications, he's well able tonight to perform this office. But then last of all, and this is the message tonight. This is the message. His pity. His pity. What do you mean? His empathy tonight. Look, if you will, go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Because this is where it gets applicable to us tonight. We can shout about everything that's been preached. But what is it that benefits us tonight? What is it in him being a priest tonight? What does that do for us? What does that do for us tonight? Well, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. And when you come to chapter number 4, in verse number 15, here it is. Not only do we see his position passed into the heavens, his person, Jesus the Son of God, but his pity, his empathy, if you will. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. English was not my favorite class in school. I didn't really care for English. And I'm just being honest tonight. But I've come to learn some things through Bible college and through study of the Word of God, how important English is. And right here is a case for this, because we have a double negative here, which means tonight when he says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched, those double negatives, that turns it into a positive tonight, Brother Stan. That means we have a high priest. Make sure there's no confusion about it tonight. We have an high priest. He said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, we have a representative tonight in the throne room of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is what God spoke to my heart years ago about when it's diving off into this. And you know that as believers, we don't have to sin. Now, I'm not saying we don't sin. I'm not saying we can't sin. It's possible. Our flesh, our human nature, we will sin and come short of the glory of God. Matter of fact, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But I do believe as a believer, it is possible to live a life of less sin. And here in the area of temptation, we have a Savior tonight that is able to sympathize, is able to empathize. Not only sympathize, is to feel in terms of compassion towards someone that is hurting, but empathy, that's to have understanding of what they're going through. The Bible reveals to us tonight that we've got a Savior in heaven. And not only did he go to the cross of Calvary and die for our sins, not only was he buried, but he arose and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And he has all qualification tonight to be in that position. Brother Stan, he's calling out to us tonight and wants to remind us that he's there in our moment of temptation. He is able to secure our succor, that is to aid. He's able to come to where we're at and say, I know what you're going through. You ever heard of those words? Nobody knows what I'm going through. We get like Elijah and we find ourselves under a juniper tree. We find ourselves in a cave, if you will. And we begin to cry and we begin to, oh, nobody knows what I'm going through. Now, I'm not being critical tonight. There's sometimes that maybe those around us don't. There's some hard roads that we have, Brother Robert, in this life. There's times of temptation. Maybe nobody knows what we're going through. But there's one. You can't say nobody knows, because there's one in heaven. You know, Brother Stan, he knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be ridiculed. He knows what it's like to be wronged. He knows all of those things. And when we think, he knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to a hunger. He knows those things. He was flesh. And the reason, not only was he flesh to go to the cross of Calvary and die, but that he could sympathize with you and I tonight. And that we could go to him in our moment of temptation. Can I give you just a few things tonight about that? The Bible said, Hebrews chapter 8. I love this book tonight. I told you the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. Do you know the Bible can give a conclusion tonight to a message? Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the conclusion of it. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. What you're going to find in studying the Word of God that we learn, I believe it's in chapter number 9. And when we understand, yes, verse 24, look at it with me. When we understand this in terms of a priesthood tonight, what is it that Jesus is doing? He's there for us. Can I share something with you tonight? This is after He's already purged our sin. This is already after He's took care of the sin problem. If you're still wrestling with your sin as a believer, you need to go back to the cross tonight and understand that Jesus died for your sin on the cross in full. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we understand that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sin, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Sin problem was dealt with at Calvary. We've got one tonight that comes alongside us as believers, interceding on our behalf to help us. But I love this. Verse 24, chapter 9. Wished I could get it all out tonight. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven. If you was wondering about His position, He's there. Amen. But into heaven itself to do what? Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there. And there's no way that you're going to be condemned. There's no way that you're going to be... The Bible said in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So He's there. The sin problem's been dealt with. The sin's already been atoned for. And He stands there. We never have to worry about being condemned. But another part of His ministry for being there, I believe ties, and I believe with the help of the Lord, I've got this rightly divided in Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4. His purpose for representing us before God has more than just to do with our sin. He's there. He as a merciful and faithful high priest. Why? That in our temptation, He's able to aid us, Brother Robert. He's able to come to where we're at. And while the devil's saying, son, give in, do this, do that, God's over here saying, hey, I've been right where you're at. If you'll just look to me, if you'll just trust me, I can help you. And then as Hebrews chapter 4 says, verse 16, how does this read? Hebrews chapter 4. He said, let us therefore. You've heard this said probably before. That word therefore is there for a reason. Why is it therefore? Well, we just preached it. His position, His person, His pity. Because of those things. Because we have a representative in heaven tonight. Oh, I wished I could get that across tonight. He said, because of the truths that I've already preached, let us therefore come boldly. Because He's there, I can now enter into the veil. I can now enter into the presence of Almighty God. I don't think we realize the privilege of prayer. I don't think we realize. I love Brother Milton Taylor, and he's helped me with my prayer life probably more than any other preacher. And I'll never forget the night he was preaching at Grace Tabernacle, and he said, we've got to get an audience with God. Let's know who we're talking to. And based on the truths that I've preached tonight, because of those truths, we can now come boldly under the throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. Now, because our representative in heaven. Oh, I wish I could preach tonight. Hey, one day I'll be able to. Amen. Hey, but because of our representative in heaven, it is a throne of grace tonight. And we can come to the throne of grace that what we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Whatever your need is. You say, preacher, you don't know my need. I don't, but He does. Your representative's at the throne tonight. He invites you to come. He invites you to come. You say, I can't tell just anybody my need. I know I can't tell everybody my need. But I know one I can talk to. And I can go to him. And He's given me the promise. His sister Tanya comes to the piano tonight. He's given me the promise. Because of who He is. Oh, it's nothing I've done tonight. It's nothing of myself. I'll tell you, the greatest day in your life as a believer when you realize nothing you have done or ever will do will earn you any favor with God. But in whom? In Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness. It's in the Beloved tonight. In the Beloved, we've been forgiven. In the Beloved, we have hope tonight. That Beloved is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what He's doing tonight? He's interceding. You remember, I'm going to share this. Pastor's going to come give the invitation. Now, I want to leave you with this. You remember when Peter, I relate to him so much sometimes. He is learning a lot, Brother Robert. But Jesus was going to the cross. And there stood Peter and he said, Lord, he said, I'll go with you. You talk about dying. There's nobody going to kill you. I've got a sword right here and I'll use it. And we learned that hastily he did that one time. And Jesus had to attach a man's ear back on. He said, Peter, that's not how my kingdom does things. But Brother Stan, Jesus made a statement when he was talking to Peter. I believe Peter already knew the Lord because he was following him. But he made this statement. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired thee. He may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. You know what Jesus was doing before Peter ever arrived to that cock crowing on that thrice time of him denying? Jesus was praying for him. They, some of you tonight, you're on the brink of getting out of the will of God. You're on the brink of being tempted to the point of sin. We know that every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And Jesus, your high priest, is interceding. He's praying for you. Your representative in heaven saying, hey, you don't have to do this. I've already paid the price. I've already accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished. If you'll just come to the throne, there's grace. There's mercy. There's grace to help in the time of need. I don't know your need tonight, but can I tell you something? There's a throne. And access has been made available. Not by anything I've done, not by anything you've done, but because of the darling Lamb of God. As we stand tonight,